All right, if you'll take your Bibles and turn with me to Psalm chapter 23. I got to tell you a little story about Psalm 23 out of my life. I mentioned the number of times growing up on the farm and all that stuff, and I know y'all get tired of hearing that. Oh, yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. Anyway, but I need to move like up there in that third row. So anyway, this Sunday school teacher that I had when I was in third grade, he was just an amazing guy to me. Just loved on me and cared about me. And I had not had anybody show me, any man show me real love until I moved in with my granddad. And then this man just took an interest in me and cared about me and stuff. And so anyway, I would, when in Sunday school, and we would have prayer requests, as a little kid, you had to make sure that you didn't say something that would make other kids laugh at you. So I didn't really know how to say it, so I didn't say it in front of everybody else. But after Sunday school class was over, I asked him if I could just ask him, tell him something. And so he kind of let all the other kids go, and then he asked, "What's wrong?" And I said, "Well, out on the farm, it gets really dark at night. And sometimes my granddad asked me to go all the way out to the barn, which is from the house is probably about 100 yards to down to the barn. And really dark, really dark. And I'd always heard these stories, too, of the things that lived out in the, you know. And I'd get afraid. We didn't have flashlights back then. We didn't have lanterns to carry or anything. We had to know the way to get down there. And once in a while, my granddad'd say, "Son, I want you to go down under the barn and make sure that calf's gate got closed all the way or whatever." And, oh, great. You know, and I thought to myself, "Grandpa, don't you want to go do that?" You know? And so, man, I'd be so freaked out. You know, I'd be listening, and every noise I would hear would be, you know, just terrifying and stuff. And so, anyway, I told my Sunday school teacher about it. And he said, "Well, first of all, I want you to know I'll pray for you to have strength." He said, "But what I want you to do is I want you to go home and memorize Psalm 23. And I said, "Well, okay, I will." And so I began, it's really the first passage of Scripture, whole passage of Scripture that I ever memorized as a kid. And so, I wondered why he wanted me to do that, but it became more and more apparent. And anytime my granddad would tell me, "Would you go down there, pitch black?" I'd get right to that part immediately. "And yea, Lord, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." And it was just a reminder to me that he's right there with me. And it got to be no big deal. You know, until my older cousin pulled a prank on me one time. But that's a different story. But anyway, it was the first time of hiding God's word in my heart that I could actually apply. And as a little third grade kid, that meant something to me. But it still means something to me. Because there are other things that I face, that you face, that I need to remind myself, no matter what I'm going through, He is with me. He's right here with me. And the reason He's right here with us is because He is Jehovah Rohi. The name Rohi means shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And so I want us to go through this passage real quick together. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. David is writing this from the perspective of a shepherd boy. Okay? And no telling I mean, you think it was bad for me going down to the barn. He lived out there with the sheep, and he had to kill the lion and the bear, and he had to do all that stuff by himself as the shepherd, as a little boy. So he says, "The Lord's my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." You know, that never gets old. You know, there are some things that get old. That never gets old. So anyway, I want us to take a look at this name tonight of God, Jehovah Rohi, the Lord is my shepherd. First of all, God is who is our shepherd, the one who watches over us. The literal term shepherd means the one who watches over. The one who watches over to make sure everything's okay. See, one thing about God is that there's nothing ever out of his sight. We may think that we can do things that are not visible to him, but every single thought, every single action, every single thing that's ever happened has been right in the plain view of God. Right in the plain view of God. But this word literally means he watches over. It means to, in a protective way, watch over and say, "I'm taking care of you. I'm making sure that everything is going to be okay for you." He's our shepherd. He is, first of all, the shepherd who guards. He is charged with protecting his sheep. The shepherd, that was his number one first charge. You protect the sheep at all costs, even if it costs you your life. And that's why David understood what it meant to kill the lion and the bear, because if he didn't kill them, they would have killed him, right? He understood that. But he did that to protect the sheep. He didn't kill the lion and the bear because he thought, "Hey, I'm going to hang them up on the wall and show people how good I am." You know, no. He killed them because he was protecting the sheep. He was watching over them. He was guarding them. Many attacks come against those who are defenseless. And by the way, it's interesting that all through Scripture, we get this picture of God being a shepherd and us being the sheep. And the reason that picture is there, because we're like sheep, and sheep are pretty dumb. I mean, honestly, when you line them up, smartest animal ever to an animal that has absolutely no clue, sheep are down there close to the end, next to amoebas and other. I mean, they're clueless. They don't know why they do what they do. They don't have they're not very smart. But anyway, and then God calls us sheep. And we probably fit into that pretty well. And there are many attacks that come against those who are defenseless. The evil one is like a roaring lion. He's seeking whom he may devour, the Scripture says. So when Satan looks around for his places to attack, he looks at sheep. Because they're pretty dumb and they keep doing dumb stuff and they get away from the shepherd. And he goes, "Hey, they're out in the open. I can take a shot at them right now." But look what Romans chapter 8, verse 31 says. "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" See, the thing about being a sheep of God, a sheep of the chief shepherd, is he's watching over me. And there's never going to be a time that I stray far enough away from him that he doesn't see where I am. And he's still watching over me. He's still guarding me. And so the psalmist even says, you know, "I don't have a fear of the shadow of death. I have somebody who's watching over me." The shepherd guards, and he also guides. By the way, the shepherd leads his flock to the right places. In the very first part of Psalm 23, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack for nothing because he takes me to those green pastures and he leads me to those still waters." You know, the waters that are talked about as still waters or living waters, Jesus makes a reference to later on, is that's what's going to be welling up inside of you. Because I'm taking you to this water that's pure and clean and holy and usable. And that's what you're going to be giving to other people. It doesn't say that he leads me to these little ponds of mud that make you want to, when you get to them, all right? And he leads me in paths of righteousness. Why? For his name's sake. So when our shepherd is watching over us, he's guarding us against the attacks of the evil one and all the things that would attack us because they don't like the shepherd and they want to take down the sheep, but he's also guiding us in the right places. You see, one of the reasons we get attacked is we get out of where we're supposed to be. And that's one of the things that sheep do. They just wander off. They don't have a clue that if they take three more steps, they'll be off the side of a cliff. They don't have a clue that all the other flock is over on the other side of the hill, and they're on this side of the hill with the wolf. They don't have a clue. So he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake, for his purpose, to bring him glory. The shepherd deserves that. So the picture here is that God sees and knows where we need to go and what we need to get there, and when we need to get there. God is mapping out for us where we ought to be. And if we stay with the shepherd, we're going to be okay. If we follow him, we're going to be all right. And there's even a picture of the shepherd in Scripture where even if a little sheep gets hurt, he'll just pick that lamb up and he'll put it over his shoulders and carry it. And there'll be a bond there between the shepherd and the sheep. And I think we all need to be carried sometimes because we get out on our own and we break limbs and we do stupid stuff. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, the shepherd guides, he says it like this: "My God's going to supply all of your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." You know, I think about that passage, and I think a lot of people have taken that and say, "Wow, man, God's going to give me everything I want." That's not what it says. It says God's going to supply all my needs according to his riches. How much riches does God have? Everything. So he's going to supply every single thing that I need. And somebody said this a long time ago to me, and I believe it with all my heart. Wherever God guides, he always provides. If God leads you somewhere, he's going to provide for you there. Period. It's just what he's going to do. Because he's a shepherd, and he's watching over his sheep. God is our shepherd. He watches over us. Secondly, he's our Savior, the one who wins for us. The shepherd saves his sheep. Though we walk through the valley, we do not fear. Why? Because he is with us. He's right there. He's not stationed millions of miles away like we tend to think sometimes. God, you're way up there in heaven somewhere. Now the Scripture says there's not a place you can go where God is not. David said, "I go to the heights of the mountains, he's there. If I went into the depths of the sea, he'd be there." Everywhere I would go, he's going to be there. He is there for me. He's there because he cares about me. And so if I walk through this valley, I don't have to fear because he's right here with me. Now, the second part of that story is this. One time my granddad says, "Let's go down to the barn and check on that little calf that was born." And you know what? When I went down there with my granddad, I wasn't afraid at all. You know why? Because I was with my granddad. Who's going to hurt me? My grandpa They can do anything. As a little kid, you think, you know, your dad or your grandpa, they can do anything. You know, I'm not afraid. I'm not scared. I'm going with my grandpa. Of course, I walked really close to him, but I was right there with him. You know? He's with us. It says, though we walk through the valley of what? The shadow of death. That's a picture of the fact that death arose because sin arose. You see, we wouldn't even be in the shadow of the valley of death had it not been for sin. Now think about this. I love this picture. The shepherd of us all sent the lamb that was worthy to pay the price for me so that I could be with the shepherd forever. And so when I walk through that valley of shadow death, whenever it is for it, all of us, and there'll be a time, the scripture says, oh, it's appointed unto us once to die. When that time comes, I don't have to worry because I know exactly who's with me. I know where I'm going. I'm going to be with the shepherd. He's never going to leave me or forsake me. He's always right with me. He's walking alongside me. And he'll walk right through death with me because he already did and he already conquered death. And I'm going right where he is. I mean, it can't get any better than that. And people are living in this world going like, oh, you know, what am I going to do? I'm going to die. Because they have no assurance. They don't have a shepherd. But because he took on death for us, we are set free from the fear of death. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says it like this. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And then Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18 says this. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they're going to be white as snow. Though they're red like crimson, they shall be as wool. In other words, God's saying, I've taken care of all that. I've washed all that away. You don't have to fear death because when you die physically, you're going to live forever in my presence. And why? Because that sin is no longer there. It's been counted for. It's been atoned. It's been covered. It's never going to be brought up again. As far as the east is from the west, so far has our transgressions been removed from us, the scripture says. So the shepherd saves. And the shepherd also sustains. He goes on to say, you've prepared a table before me. This is a picture of his readiness to supply in the midst or presence of the enemy. Look at what it says. I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death. And what do you do? You're preparing a table before me in the presence of my enemy. I used to think, oh, that's two separate things. It's not. It didn't come here and stop and go, okay, now I'm changing subjects. It says, I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death. I'm not fearing any evil. You're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare for me a table in the presence of my enemies. So what he's saying in a way we would say today is, hey, I can look at all this stuff around me and not even worry because I'm going to sit down and eat with the king. I'm going to eat with the shepherd. He's going to take care of me. I'm not worried about all this stuff that goes on around me. John 10:10, Jesus says it this way, the thief comes but to steal and to kill and destroy, but I have come that you may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. So in the midst of the attacks of the enemy, Jesus is saying, hey, I'm going to give you life like you can't even imagine right there in the midst of the valley of the shadow of death. Or when you're surrounded by your enemies, you are going to have life abundant. Why? Because the shepherd's right here. We have to begin to live like the shepherd is right here. He's not somewhere where I have to call on him, please come to my rescue. He's right here. He's right here among us. He's right here with us. He hasn't left us off in some pasture way away from him that he's going to have to come running to get to us when we get in trouble. The shepherd does not fear the enemy. And since we are His, we don't need to fear the enemy either. We're His. I'm walking to the barn with my shepherd. I don't fear. Isaiah chapter 35, verse 4 says this, "Say to those who are fearful hearted, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, and with recompense of God, He will come and save you." You know what? I think a lot of times we don't really see God like that. But I can tell you what, if you guys, as an earthly father, see somebody messing with your kid, is there a little bit of wrath that raises up in you? Can you imagine the wrath of God coming against somebody when they start messing with His kid? John chapter 14, verse 27. Oh, did I skip one? They're not there. I didn't put them in. Shame on me. Well, I'm going to go ahead and read it to you. I want to read you this. John 14, 27. I thought I put it in there. I know you could. Do it. I don't believe you. Just do it. I want to see you do it. All right. That's 26. All right, there you go. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Jesus said, I leave you my peace. Was there ever, think about this, even when He was facing the cross, was there ever a time when Jesus said, "I'm not going to make it through this"? No. He knew exactly what was going to happen. He knew He was going to have to die. He knew He was going to have to be beaten. He knew He was going to have to be impaled on the cross. He knew He was going to have to be laid in a tomb. He knew it. And yet, He had the peace of God because He was God. Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. I didn't put that one in either, did I? There you are. "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." By the way, the "you go" is the end of that. He's going to be with you. Period. The shepherd sustains us because of His presence. He's always there. And thirdly, the shepherd shelters. Look at how David pictures this. He says, "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And that word "dwell" means to abide or to stay. In other words, David's saying, I'm living with God. I'm living with the shepherd. I'm not leaving. I'm staying with Him. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, with all who will trust and obey. The fact is, folks, the problem with sheep is that they tend to wander off. And for us, as sheep of the shepherd, we will realize that when we stay in the presence of the shepherd, we're always going to be okay. When we think about Jehovah Rohi, what He wants us to realize is He's never leaving. He's right there. Will we choose to stay with Him? Or do we choose to wander off? Here's the deal. The deal is that this world that we live in offers so many things to capture our attention. So many people, so many things, so many opportunities. And not all of them are bad. But if they rob us from the presence of the shepherd, then think about it. I could have the shepherd, I could have TV. I could have the shepherd, I could have this. I could have the shepherd, I could have that. Whatever it is, you plug it in there. Which one's better? The shepherd, always. So why would I go anywhere else? Matthew chapter 18. I love this parable that Jesus was sharing with his disciples. And he says, what do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, doesn't he leave the 99 and go to the mountains to seek the one that's straying? And if he should find it, surely I say to you, he rejoices more over that sheep than over the 99 that did not go astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father who's in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Not one of them. That's the will of the Father, that not one should perish. You know why? Because he's Jehovah Rohi. And he looks over all of creation, which, by the way, he created. And he says, I want to be your shepherd. I want to be your shepherd. I want to watch over you. I want to guard you. I want to guide you. I want to sustain you. I want to save you. I want to shelter you. I want to be your shepherd. Will you let me? And contrary to some thought, every single person has a choice of whether they want to follow the shepherd or not. We even have a choice of whether we want to stay following. I mean, we've chosen him as our Savior, asked for his forgiveness, told him that he's Lord, he's shepherd, he's in charge of me, and yet I tend to push him off of the throne and get right back up on it. I remember when I was in high school, I'd been driving for 4 years, but I took driver's ed when I was 16 or 15. Back then you could do it when you're 15. I took it when I was 15. I'd already had my learner's permit when I was 14. I've been driving since I was 10. You know, it was not that big a deal. But so anyway, I remember that you had to take the driving test. You had to go through all the stuff about that person sitting next to you. You know, who was your instructor? And back then, they didn't have these fancy cars that had a steering wheel on both sides and the pedal on both sides. They kind of have those now, so that kids, if they get in trouble, the other person could take over. They didn't have that back then. But every once in a while, one of the kids that was taking driver's ed would tell me about, they were driving along and all of a sudden the instructor would reach over and grab the wheel and turn it because they were going to hit something or whatever else. And I started thinking, you know, that's kind of what we do sometimes. Because God is he's in the seat. He's driving us along. And we see something that we want to go do. And so we grab the steering wheel out of his hand and we start turning and going a different way. We've got to let him be the shepherd. He's the shepherd. The shepherd who loves us, who protects us. He's our shepherd. Why would any of the sheep, I mean, can you imagine any sheep ever looking at the shepherd and going like, I'm not going where you tell me to. I'm going to do my own thing. No, they don't do that. They're stupid enough to wander off sometimes, but they don't think about, let's don't do what the shepherd says this time. Let's go do this. They don't do that. We're dumber than sheep. That's the truth. We just need to follow the shepherd. Father, we need to